Welcome back to Financial Focus. I'm Troy Reinhardt. I'm here with Tyler Simonis. We're wealth managers at Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management. Take us up on one of our free retirement planning reviews by calling us at 541-388-9888. You can give us a call, spend an hour with us. We can talk about your retirement and where you are and answer any questions you may have. It's no cost, no obligation. We won't bug you. You can bug us, but we won't bug you back. So it is time, Tyler. Are you ready to have a guest?
I am. Let's do it.
All right. Our guest today is Steve Dice. Steve is the president of Independent Actuaries in Beaverton, Oregon. Actuaries are very important people for those for both businesses who have defined contribution plans and or defined benefit plans, sorry, and also for those of you who may participate in a pension plan. Welcome, Steve.
Great. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, it's great to have you. As we get started here, why don't you share with our listeners who independent actuaries are and what an actuary is?
Okay. Independent Actuaries is an independently owned firm, like the name would suggest. And in a nutshell, we're retirement plan consultants. We set up and administer really all kinds of retirement plans. Our customers are small business owners, small to mid-sized business owners, and the businesses themselves. So we don't cross into what you were talking about that you do, advising individual plan participants on their retirement assets and income needs. We're really focused on setting up these plans for the business owner.
So what when you set up these plans, part of you, why don't you explain what your role is for the business people out there listening and for people that are in pensions of how you consult and keep them on the right track and why you're an important part of the program?
Right. Where you really need an actuary is for what's called a defined benefit plan, or it's sometimes called a traditional pension plan. And those are the plans where your benefit is expressed as a monthly annuity, beginning usually sometime around age 65, and it's payable for the remainder of your life. So, for example, under a defined benefit plan, you may have a benefit based on your aid, on your service and your compensation with your company. You may have a benefit of $500 a month that will begin paying at your age 65 and pay for the remainder of your life.
So
you need an actuary for these plans because the IRS and Department of Labor need the employer to set money aside to pay for these benefits. It's a promise that the employer is making to the plan participants to pay the benefits out, and the IRS and Department of Labor want to make sure that the assets are there. You really need an actuary then to say, okay, are the assets that are in the plan sufficient to pay these benefits? And if they aren't, or even if they're sufficient today but may not be tomorrow, how much money should the business contribute to the plan, set aside for the plan to make the plan whole so it can pay these benefits?
And a lot of these defined benefit plans, especially at big corporations, the actuaries miss the boat pretty drastically. And there in our country are a lot of unfunded liabilities as it relates to some of these plans, right?
You're right. Unfortunately, that's given actuaries kind of a bad name in some circles. For a while, there were, I'd call them abuses, I guess, of the rules that were in place, in that plan sponsors and their actuaries were able to assume what rate of return their plan assets would get. And they were making unrealistic assumptions about that, saying, okay, we're going to earn 10% on our retirement plan assets. Therefore, we don't need to have very much money in there in order for them to grow and pay out these future benefits.
Well, it wasn't one of those too high rate assumption problems, just the state of Oregon with PERS?
that, the assumption I was talking about was just that. It was an assumption that the actuary and the plan sponsor make about investment earnings. And that was one of the problems with Oregon PERS. The other problem, of course, was that they were actually crediting plan participants in Tier 1 and Tier 2 these high rates of return, even if the plan assets weren't earning that. So not only was it a look-forward assumption, it was a today assumption. Okay, how are we going to credit these people's accounts? And the assets just obviously didn't keep up.
You're listening to Financial Focus with Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management, and we're with Steve Dice. Steve's the president of Independent Actuaries here in Beaverton, Oregon. Steve, we have plenty of people in our industry, too, in the wealth management business that are bad actors and didn't do the right things from time to time. So we understand that happens in every industry. But how did things get off course, and then how do you make sure that you don't wander off course like that?
Well, it's the blame for these sorts of things, and I hate to even use the word blame, but the responsibility for these things really can be spread around. It doesn't fall on anyone's shoulders. The actuary can advise the plan sponsor about the minimum amount they need to put into the plan for a plan year. But then the good actuary will also have a recommended amount and say, you know, really, to keep this plan financially healthy, you shouldn't just put in the minimum amount that the IRS is telling you have to put in. We recommend that you put in this larger amount. The plan sponsor, of course, can listen to us, but they can also decide that they've got other obligations and other interests and don't take our recommendation. So there are a lot of factors at work, but a lot of things, a lot of economic factors have worked against these plans in the past several years, too. Asset returns, of course. We've had some bad years in the market. Interest rates, the funded status of these plans depends on interest rate levels are low right now, which means high plan liabilities. Those things, coupled with the plan sponsor tending to contribute the minimum required every year, really has got these plans, a lot of these plans, into trouble.
How prevalent are these defined benefit plans? You know, lots of people out there think of these, for lack of a better term, good old-fashioned pensions having gone away. Are they more prevalent out there in the marketplace than people think?
Well, you know, I'll divide them into two subcategories here. And so far, we've been talking about what I'll call a large defined benefit plan. It really doesn't have so much to do with size, but more to do about why the plan was set up. And so large companies, large corporations, tend to set up these types of plans either for paternalistic reasons. They want to provide for their employees in retirement, and maybe also for competitive reasons. Their competitor down the street offers this type of plan, so they figured they'd better offer it as well. Those plans that have been set up, those are the ones that you read about in the paper being frozen and terminated and getting into trouble. The benefits that were in place in setting up the plan, again, providing for your employees and setting up a plan for competitive reasons, have more and more become outweighed by the problems that these plans can cause on the employer's financial statements, uncertainties in their cash obligations from year to year.
All right, so Steve.
Those large plans tend to be going away. Personally, I think they will rebound at some point in the future. I sure hope they will.
All right. Well, Steve, we're gonna take a break here, and we'll come back and we'll loop back into what you're saying and talk a little bit more about pension plans. And I know there's been some legislative changes. Steve Dice is our guest today. He's the president of Independent Actuaries. Actuaries are very important in your wealth building, especially if you have a pension. If you have a call, 877-670-7117 on our radio hotline. Stick around for more Steve Dice.